لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، الذي سمي بالقرآن بطه ويوسين والمزمل والمدثر، أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الدائم الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم وقرآن المجيد وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجونهم من الظلمات إلى النور. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور، والذين كفروا أوليائهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات، أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الحمد لله. And all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has given us countless bounties, that even if we try to count them and try to remember all those blessings and bounties, we cannot. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن تُعَدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصَاهَا. Even if you try to count the bounties which I have given to you, bestow upon you, you won't be able to count them. Just quickly going to go through the few ni'mat and few blessings and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the biggest blessings and bounties a person has is his life. That we are living. We are living in this world. The blessings within ourselves, the blessings and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can be divided in various segments, in various aspects. One of those aspects is that the bounties within ourselves and bounties outside world, in the outside world. The bounties within ourselves, one is our life. The bounties which cannot be counted. The breath which we are taking inside out, every second, or maybe less than that, we breathe. Allah has given us eyesight. Allah has given us the quality and that beautiful property of listening. We have balanced ratio between red and white corpuscles. If we ourselves do not disturb it, it's in a balanced way. Our digestive system is in a balanced way if we do not touch it, we do not eat something which disturbs it. Otherwise, it's in a balanced manner. And there are several functions inside ourselves which we even don't know about it. We are not even aware about it. So when we are not even aware about what type of blessings and bounties we are having within ourselves, and we cannot count those blessings and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which we possess within ourselves, how it is possible that the bounties which has been given to us, around us, bounties like our parents, bounties like our wives, bounties like our children, the blessings of Allah that Allah has given us, the wealth, the power of thinking and intellect to decide between good and bad. All these blessings and bounties, the beautiful world around us, we cannot count them. We cannot count them. And if we really want to go through some of those blessings and bounties, I suggest that we should go through the Dua-e Arafah of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. That how beautifully Imam alayhi salam has offered those duas with all the humbleness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has counted something which we never ever think about it, that we should think about those things. All of us, we like to have hairs on our head. Till it's on our head, we try to comb it, brush it, I don't know, shampoo it, lots of things we do. But the moment it comes out of and detached from our head, we throw it. We love it when it's on our head, but we throw it, we do not preserve it, we just throw it. Whatever we have thought to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, you have given us these beautiful hairs on our head. Maybe some of us, I cannot say none of us, but yes, some of us. There are people, aware people, awliya Allah, the thoughtful people. We have bones in our fingers. Have we ever thought about it to thank Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have given bones in our fingers? When we go through the dua of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we realize that how many bounties Allah has given us within ourselves. There is a world of bounties, countless bounties. Even the specialist and the most experienced doctors and scientists, they don't know about everything about the human anatomy. They do not know anything, everything about what's going on inside a human being. Yes, something has been taught to them, something they learn by experience. Allah do not want us. Or maybe that's why He said that you cannot count us. Maybe He wants us to count His bounties. But not the sake of the bounties because He has given us. Because He Himself says you cannot count them. Then why? Allah, you are asking us to count. That we should bring ourselves to the level of realization, recognition, acknowledgement to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That acknowledgement will motivate us to do something, to thank Allah what He has given us. We cannot do all what He has given, but we can do something. And for that, and for all those things which Allah has given us, that is our life and all what we have in our lives, it all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing belongs to us in this world. I say this is mine, this house is mine, this car is mine, this wife is mine, these children are mine, this wealth is mine, everything is mine. If I am sitting on the some level of president, prime minister, I say this country is mine. Again, if I started thinking and daydreaming that I am the leader of the world, I say this whole world, is entire world is mine. And that's how you can see around. That wherever people want, they can send their army over there, their troops over there, their planes over there, they bomb over those places. Why? Because it belongs to us. Nothing belongs to us. Nothing. Even our souls does not belong to us. Maybe soul is something very big in our lives. Of course, it's a life. You must have performed Hajj or Umrah. And if you have, and if you haven't, may Allah give all of us this opportunity to perform Hajj and Umrah inshaAllah next year. When a person change his clothes and come into the state of Ihram, there are several things which becomes haram and prohibited. And one of those things is to detach a hair from your hands or from your body. You cannot detach it. When I was one of the Hajj, when I got the opportunity, it came into my mind that Allah, there are several things which you have said, don't look into the mirror, don't wear perfumes, don't wear these type of clothes and this and that. But this hair, which is unwanted hair on my body, which doesn't have any value of that monetary or financial aspect. Nothing, no value. Why you have prohibited that we cannot cut or detach and take out that hair from our unwanted places? Why? Then I thought, for several nights in my prayers, I just think about it. Why it's happening like that? Allah, give me some guidance. Then just it came into my mind that maybe Allah wants us to tell that your life is a big thing. Your wealth, your belongings is a big thing. you not possess them. But even this so-called hair of no value does not belong to you. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you do not have right. You do not have any wilaya. You do not have any supremacy even on your own unwanted hairs. It all and all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nothing belongs to you. So when everything belongs to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why we are so arrogant that when it comes to our actions and practices in our lives, we disobey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why? Because we have given free will, we become arrogant? No, this is the test where Allah wants us to be tested, that with all those blessings and bounties which I have given to you and bestowed upon you, all those blessings which I have given to you, are you grateful and thankful to me or not? It's our test that we should and we must go after His commandments. We should obey Him the way He wants us to serve Him and be obedient to Him, not the way we like to be obedient to Him. There's a difference between it. Sometimes we impose our pleasures and our understandings on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, this is the way we are going to perform and you have to accept it. No, my dear. It's not going to happen. In Quran, Allah says, are you going to teach me or I am going to teach you? Who's going to teach who? That what should be done? It's a very simple question asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's going to teach who? Me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or Allah is going to teach me and guide me what to do and what not to do? What is right and what is wrong? What is good and what is bad? Yes, I have free will to decide. But then the result will be in accordance to what I have performed. My actions, my practice has two parts, everyone knows. One of its parts is in our beliefs, our faith. And the other is the reflection of that faith in our actions. If we believe in something and we do something else, of course it's not the same thing and it's not been acceptable even in the worldly things. Even in the worldly things. If someone has gun in his hands, playing with it and kill someone, he cannot say, this gun wasn't supposed to kill anyone because I was playing. It cannot be done. Because every action has its own impact. If someone is cooking something sweet, some dessert, and in place of sugar puts salt into it, then say, oh, my niyyah, my intention was to put sugar, so it should be sweet in the result. No, it cannot be. Because even by mistake, if we have put salt into it, it won't be sweet. it will be saltish. So it's not only what we believe, but also the action should be correct in accordance to the what we believe. Yes, what we should be believing is something there, something different, can be discussed separately sometime else. When we come to the religion, to our lives, when I say religion to me is equal to our lives. It's equal to our lives. It's not religion is limited to masajid, where these Islamic centers. No. Religion is the part of our life. It's the part of our complete life, regardless. It's our education, it's our working in our economic system and our finances and earnings. It concerns, and it is a part, it should be reflected into our family systems. It has a reflection in our administrative and political systems, and it should, our judiciary also be based on this system, this religion and its teachings. Because there are five pillars of any society, that every society requires these five systems at least. One, the family system, the other is educational system, the third is economic and financial system, the fourth is the judiciary, and fifth is administrative and political systems. No society can be built without these systems, at least these five systems. Other systems can be add-on to these things, but at least these five systems. And if even one of them are imbalanced, the whole system, the whole structure will be imbalanced. So the religion should reflect into the character. And how that reflection can become an example for us. How that can be? There should be an example for us. لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That there is a uswa hasana, the role model in the lifestyle of the Holy Prophet. In every era and every time, there should be a role model so people can look to him and follow him. There should be examples for every time. Allah has asked people that if you follow perfectly as per my commandments and my orders, you will become a perfect human being. Al-insan al-kamil. Perfect. And this is something which is achievable. And if you would like to see the example of perfect men and women, we can see these perfect personalities can be reflected 100% absolutely in the character of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and the personalities of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and the 12 infallible Imams, because they were being perfect people absolutely perfect people. That means they do not have any lapses. They haven't performed any wrongful acts. Question comes that how it is possible that a man which is full of mistakes and faults, how a person can be a perfect? One of the basic to become a perfect person, to have absolute and perfect knowledge of what Allah wants from His creation. If someone possess absolute knowledge and perfect knowledge, so that is the first step towards the perfection, towards the excellence of mankind. But that's not all. The person has to bring that knowledge into his actions. Action which consists of his iman and the reflection in his actions through the different parts of his body, that his and her eyes should work as per the commandments of Allah, his and her hands should work in accordance to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that his and her legs and feet should walk on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every part of us, inside out, jawarih wa jawanih, everything from inside, our heart, our mind, our intellect, from inside, our sentiments, our emotions, they should be perfect, and its reflection should be in the different parts of our bodies. And we see that Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam has acquired and been bestowed with the perfect knowledge. And there are several ahadiths from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. Which shows the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt is parallel to Quran. And one of the hadiths and sayings of Imam Muhammad Baqir or Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, he says that Quran has 7 levels of understanding and knowledge. And one another hadith is been said that Quran has 70 levels to understand. And we are the people who understand all the levels of Quran. It's not only the claim which they have, but when we go through the history, we find that they were the only people who used to come forward to defend Islam and its ideology. Whenever there was a problem, they used to come. We can read these things in the book of Shaykh Tabarsi, Allah maqamahu, Kitab al-Ihtijaj. There are different arguments, discussions, debates, which has been narrated, collected and narrated by Shaykh in his book, which was being performed by different and with our all imams in different eras. So they were the people who defended Islam In the beginning, in the battlefield, they were the people who defended Islam in the ideological battlefields. Whenever there were been any attacks on the ideology of Islam, the progeny of the Holy Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, were the only people who were able to defend it. And why it is like that? Books of Ahlul Sunnah was Shia, both of them, Shia was Sunni books, both of them has narrated various ahadiths that the most knowledgeable and pious people of each era used to be from the progeny of Ahlul Bayt, from the progeny of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. That is the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Because they have seen, it's been mentioned. So these people were the examples for each era. So people can see them. They can be the example that whatever the circumstances, political, financial, economical, or whatever the problems and challenges people were facing, we are not the only people who face challenges in our time. There have been people, they have faced several, every era, every time, in every place in the world, people face challenges, problems, difficulties. We are not the only one. And these were the people who showed that with having all those challenges and problems, regardless they are political or it's the social problem whatsoever, they stood fast, they stood strong and firm, and showed that a person can be living 100% in accordance to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek His pleasure and only His pleasure. And one of the sayings, the famous sayings, the Holy Prophet said, "Inni taraktu fikum al-thaqlain, kitab Allah wa itrati ahl bayti. مَا إِنْ تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَنْ تَضَلُّ بِهَا أَبَدًا حَتَّى يَرَدَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَوْضَ." The Holy Prophet said that I'm leaving behind two valuable things, that is Quran, وَعِتْرَى, that is my progeny, Ahlul Bayt. That if you attach yourself to them, you will never ever be go astray until you reach to the house of Kawthar on the day of judgment. In another hadith has been said, the Kitabullah wa Ahlul Bayt, they are thiqlain. Kitabullah, thiqlullah al-akbar, وَأَحْلِ بَيْتِي ثِقْلُ اللَّهِ الْأَصْغَرِ, that these are both are valuables, things which I am leaving behind. But the Kitab Allah, that is the Quran, the Quran is the ثِقْلُ اللَّهِ الْأَكْبَرِ, that is the most valuable, because those are the direct words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pure light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the other one, which is the parallel to Quran, they are Sitlullah al-Asghar. Allah has put His wilaya in them, put His supremacy into them. Because a perfect person should reflect the light of Allah through his actions. And that's what we see in Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That Imam alayhi salam, from the beginning in Medina, when he was been asked to give allegiance to Yazid, and he said, no, mithli la yubaya mithla, and gave us a principle that one, a person who firmly believes in Quran, in the Holy Prophet, will never ever will follow someone like Yazid. And Yazid wasn't only in the in that hijrah, in that era. Yazids are in all eras, in all places. Yazids are over there. We have to make ourselves Husseinis. Make ourselves someone like Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Someone like his companions and his friends. We know that we cannot be like him. We cannot be like him. We will discuss, inshallah, in the following days that how we cannot be. But we cannot be like him. But we can try to be like his companions, like his household people, his family members. Why? They were not ma'sumeen. They were not infallibles. They were common people, but they bring themselves to that level that they were being in the battlefield of Karbala without any fear, without any sorrow. They were being over there. They stood over there. They knew that they were being. They will be killed soon, very soon. But they were firm. Because there were two ways to live. Live with dignity. Live with dignity. Or die with pride. When you cannot and you are not been allowed to live with dignity, then offer yourself and go towards the death with pride. That we are the awliyaullah, we are the friends of Allah, we are the followers of Allah, and we will not detach ourselves from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the battlefield of Karbala, it was around 6th or 7th of Muharram. Hazrat Zainab, salamullah alayha, she inquired from his brother, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that, oh brother, I can't see your childhood friend, Habib ibn Madahir. Where is he? Why he is not over here? Isn't he aware that you have been deserted into Karbala? Imam Hussein wrote a letter to him and seek his help and assistance in the battlefield of Karbala. When the person appointed by Imam reached the house of Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir, he was having lunch. His servant came to him and said that Imam Hussein has sent someone with his letter. When he heard this, he said, why you haven't asked that person to come inside? Allahu Akbar. He stood from that lunch. He went to bring him inside. He took the letter. He haven't opened it yet. He kissed that letter and cried. Then he opened. He said, Imam Hussain has written into it that my friend of my childhood, I need you. I need your help. Can you come to Karbala and help me out? Hazrat Habib ibn Mazai's wife was sitting beside him. She asked that, why you are crying? He said, my friend, my Imam, he is seeking my help. The time has come that he has been so much oppressed that now he is asking someone like me to help him out in this situation. He asked his son and his servant to take the horses into the fields, and in the dark, Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir went into the fields, and then they reached Karbala. When they were approaching to Karbala, Imam Hussain with his ilm came to know that his friend is coming. He stood, he came out from his camp, his khaymah, and went forward to welcome the people. Companion asked him, where are you going, Imam? He said, my friend, my childhood friend is coming. I am going forward to welcome him. Yes, Imam was looking for the best people. Imam was trying to gather the best people on the earth in that place of Karbala. Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir, when he reached over there, Imam took him in his arms, hugged him, and they cried. Then Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir went to Hazrat Zainab and said, Alayki salam minni, ya bint Zahra. Accept my salam, Hazrat Zainab. And that was the time when people start crying. And Hazrat Zainab in reply said, no, salam is not from you, salam is from me. And I thank and I am grateful to you that you came to us to help us in this Karbala. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Zainab cried, Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir cried, and the companions around him, they cried. Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir, who was in his 70s, he went to the battlefield. He was an old man. But still, with a young heart, he went into the battlefield. He fought bravely. He killed more than 40 people. And the time came when that Shaqi came forward and put the sword on his head, and Habib ibn Mazahir fell on the field of Karbala and said, Alayka minni salam ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifnaik. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر لهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم العظيم العازل أجل الأكرام.